Okay, and just before we begin, two important pieces of news slash notices that I want to give you. First one is about the 10th of November. After the evening service on the 10th of November, we are going to be bringing together our students, our young adults, anybody that thinks they fit into that category. I'll let you discern that, not me. We are going to be hosting a bit of a Q&A, a bit of a discussion with Alistair Black, our senior pastor, around about some of the things that he's been talking about on in our morning services. So if you've anything, if you've heard some of those services, if you've heard one or two or all of them, if you haven't yet, I would encourage you to go and listen to them and kind of wrestle with them and really think about them. And any questions that you have at all about those, that could be, what does that mean in my studies, what does that mean as my identity, any kind of questions at all around that kind of series. And we're going to be running a Q&A on the 10th of November. For that, we are looking for a few of those questions to come up beforehand, just so we can have a bit of a work out where we're going and what's happening. So if you can email them into the church office, that would be great. Just to put that date in the diary, the 10th of November. And then there is a second Q&A on the 11th. And for those who maybe you feel like it's like a more older category than the first two, but again, I will let you determine which category you fall into. Second important answer. Peter Rabbit 2 is coming out in March. So you all know, very exciting. I'm probably booking the week off. Favourite film, Peter Rabbit 2 is coming out in March.
Yes!
Really good trailer, if you've not seen it, you're going to laugh all the way through it. Really good trailer. Okay. So let's get back to what we're going to be doing, and that is looking at Proverbs. And I think for me, one of the things I've really enjoyed over the last few weeks is we've been looking at Proverbs and what it means in that to gain wisdom and what it means to be trying to glean these golden nuggets from Proverbs in terms of being wise and in terms of our journey with Jesus and our kind of Christian walk. Is that when we come to each of these topics, what we're doing is we're still trying to look at it through the lens of being wise and through the lens of what does this mean to have wisdom in this topic. And as we've come to tonight, it's been particularly interesting because what I found is that sometimes Proverbs has multiple things to say on one topic. And I'm like, man, how am I going to get this down to like 20, 25 minutes when I've got like 20 Proverbs to choose from? And sit this bit, that bit, that bit. But the really interesting thing about tonight's topic is that there is one or two verses, but one section that I think talks really clearly on this topic of envy. So tonight we are only taking two verses, and we're going to unpack them, but what I think it says to us is it tells us why envy is such a problem in terms of gaining wisdom, but also really clearly what to do about it in terms of how we make sure that envy doesn't become a problem for us, or envy doesn't become a stumbling block as we try and kind of gain this journey into wisdom and what that looks like. So this morning some people were saying, oh Rob, what are you preaching on tonight? I was like, oh, I'm preaching on envy. It looked at me to be like, in a good way or a bad way. So I rethought the title slightly this afternoon. So the official title, for those of you who are taking notes on, just to make sure that I'm being theologically correct, is Eradicating Envy in the Pursuit of Wisdom. Can I repeat that for you just so you can all make notes? So, Eradicating Envy, a good 2EE, I'm a good Baptist when it comes to my words that match. In the Pursuit of Wisdom is what we're going to be looking at. Okay, so before I flick onto the next slide in terms of going a little bit more into this topic, I just want to give you a bit of a warning. There's a picture that's going to appear on the screen. Okay, it's not offensive, it's not, doesn't need an age range on it or anything like that, an age rating on it or anything like that. But I would just ask that before you choose how to react, you think about the facial expression that you're going to give me. Okay? So I'm just going to give you a moment just to practice your, this is a normal, everyday thing that we're about to see. Okay, just practice that face. Okay. So, thought we'd start with the confessions of the pastor. So this is me, age 14, mid 30. At high school, you don't really tell it to me, can you? Not so much curly hair. But the reason I show you this photo, and the reason I had to phone my mum the other day and be like, can you send me some pictures of the school photos? And she was like, why? But I'm going to put them in a sermon. And she was like, right, okay. The reason that I showed you, or put this up there, is because I want to tell you a bit of a story from when this photo was taken. Okay, so most of you will know, or some of you will know, that I'm not a particularly sporty person. I'm not really a team sport person. That's just who I am. I've always known that. That's okay. I have in later life discovered that I can run. I can run fairly fast. Not as fast as everybody in the room, but the 1.9 individual. However, there was a particular time in this year when this photo was taken, on my time at high school, so kind of first, second year, third year, when I really struggled with the fact that I wasn't in a sports team. Okay, so let me just paint the picture for you. So it's about this time of year. All the kind of sports selections have been done, the team selections have been done. We had rugby teams, football teams, basketball teams, like all the different normal teams we expected at high school. And we had the first team, the second team, the third team. You know, that was great. And I never, like, put myself forward for any of these teams. I never, like, asked to be part of a team or, like, not auditioned, but you know what I mean? I never put myself forward to be exactly, this is why. This is why. So I never did that. So there's like totally understandable why I wasn't in a team. But it got to this time of year, and one thing happened at this time of year that really stuck out to me. I still remember it, so when I was thinking about preaching on it, so I've got to share a story. And that was the time when all the sports photos were taken. Okay, so in our school we had like a long corridor, and in this corridor were all these display boards. It was all the pictures of the different teams. So at the time we got to this time of year, all the teams had been picked, everyone knew who was going to be in the photos. And what I realised at this time of year was that a lot of the people that I was friends with were very sporty. So we had like someone who was a bit of football, we had someone who was played for like the area for badminton. And then all of a sudden I realised that all of the people around me that I hung out with, that I was in class with, the people that I would socialise with were going to be in these photos. Okay? But the thing for me at the time is that it wasn't necessarily that I wanted to be in the photo. Okay? That is not the point. The point was not that I wanted to be in the photo. The point was, in that moment, as I was working out, I didn't really understand it, but I remember one particular evening going home and being like, I'm just not in any of these photos. And my mum looked at me a bit to be like, what are you talking about? Like, what's happening? I was like, I'm not in any of these photos. And as I thought about that, the question that I was going, oh, but that means I'm not good at anything. That means I'm not recognised for anything I do. That means that I'm just not a very good person, I think is where I got to in that kind of spiral of doubt and that spiral of what was going on. And when I think back to then, I probably had no idea what was going on, but when I look back now, I think what was happening was that at high school, I wasn't particularly known for anything. So, okay, yes, I was loud and I talked quite a lot, but like I wasn't known for anything particularly positive. Like I wasn't particularly academic, I wasn't particularly troublesome in class. Like I was just kind of a middle of the road, got through high school as I needed to, got fairly okay exam results. But, you know, there was people who were better at me than things and people also that were kind of causing teachers more trouble. And I think looking back at that moment, what it was a realisation that in that moment, I did not feel known. I did not feel like I had anything in particular to give during that time. And I actually became envious, or I actually became kind of wanting to be somebody else, wanting to be my friends, not because they were in a photo or because they were in the football team, but because in that moment they were being recognised as someone. They were being recognised, they were given an identity, they were being recognised as being good at something and in that moment. So I give you that story to let you know that coming into tonight's topic, we're going to use quite a lot of my experience and this story in particular to think about what that means in terms of our lives and in terms of where we're going. So, our series theme of Proverbs isn't just a look through Proverbs, but it's actually about the development and the gaining of wisdom and how do we do that. But what I've been thinking about as we've been unpacking this is that this development of wisdom, or this journey of wisdom that we're talking about, comes from the ability to redirect and manage the feelings of our hearts. So we often talk about head versus heart when we're making decisions and we're making choices. It's very easy for me in my head to go, Rob, you're not sporty, you don't want to be in a football team, you don't want to go to the trials, you don't want to get up really early in practice, so like, no wonder you're not in a football team. Get over yourself. But actually what it was in my heart, there was something that I was looking for, seeking, whether that was recognition, or whether that was that place and that identity. So it comes from this idea of being able to manage the feelings of our heart, this head versus heart problem that we often talk about. Therefore, we need to see that envy, we need to see what it is. We need to name it. We need to name it for what it is, and that is that it's a heart problem. It's a problem that we have within our hearts in terms of looking at other people, in terms of viewing other people, in terms of how we engage with other people. And Timothy Keller, when he writes on this topic, gives four reasons on why envy is such a serious problem for us as Christians. The first thing he says is that it hides itself. So think about that in the sense that it's quite secretive. It's something that we have within us that maybe other people around us don't know. It's not something that we're probably going to share with the people around us and be like, oh, by the way, I'm really envious of you. It's probably not something we're going to share with people. So it's secretive. It gets into our lives. It stops us from doing the things we want to do, or it stops us from being the people we are. But it's a secret. It stays within us, and it's not something that we freely share. It's also not something that shows itself very clearly. So it's not something that you would, you know, see your pal and be like, oh, I can tell that you're struggling with envy today. We don't really see that, so it's quite secretive. Secondly, it sucks the joy out of your life. So it's a bit like a vacuum pump. So with it being secretive, it has this ability to kind of overshadow other things. And while we think it might just be a small thing about like a team photograph, actually what it comes is it then affects more and more things. So if I take that particular situation, if I hadn't been careful in that moment, I might have not seen it for what it was, but taken it to a place of going, oh, I can no longer be friends with these people because I can't stand to be around them because what they have is something I want. And it grows and it grows and it grows to a point where it takes in other things and not just the specific thing that it started with. But also it poisons the life that you have. God loves each person in this room. God has a plan and a purpose for each of you. But he also knitted you and created you to the individual that you are. This morning we had a dedication at our second service. And that dedication is about saying thank you to God for creating that child in such a unique way. For bringing that parent, bringing that child into that family in such a unique way, knowing that that child is going to be the right fit for them and they're going to be a family unit. So when we allow envy in, when we allow envy to take root in our heart, what it does is it poisons the life that we've been given by God. It poisons the life that we've been given or destined to have by him. And this comes from when Adam and Eve sinned and the world became a broken place. It comes from that moment when the apple was eaten and sin and destruction came into the world. And we no longer could be totally true and honest with who we were and who we are. But actually that was when envy creeped in. But we see the idea of it takes away and poisons what we already have. But it also gives us the understanding of our heart. So understanding envy means understanding your heart. It helps us to understand when we identify the envious things within us. We see what are the things that motivate us, what are the things that are maybe going to be the barriers or the kind of tumbling blocks in our lives. And they're things that we can then use to help on this journey of wisdom in terms of seeking God in everything we do. So, I now know that you're all looking at me very well.
You're not actually mentioning the problem yet. It's already given us.
So, let's have a look at this proverb that I said at the beginning. I think speaks really clearly into this topic, and really clearly into envy. So it's Proverbs 23, verses 17 and 18. And it says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. So just to be clear right at the beginning, Solomon, who wrote these Proverbs, says, let not your heart. He's again emphasizing what we've already said. Envy is a heart problem, something that we need to deal with. It's in our heart. It's going to be there because of the broken world that we live in. So it's something that we need to not allow in, and we need to work on really hard and understand the seriousness to not allow in. And what we see is that it speaks directly into this matter. It gives us tips and tools, which we're going to look at in a moment, on how to deal with envy. But firstly there, we see that it's a problem that we need to deal with because it's a heart problem what's going on. So we've worked out that it's a heart problem. So how are we going to seek it in our lives? How are we going to sort it in our lives? Well, these verses also give us two really good directions on this. Really two simple symbols as well, hopefully we'll all be able to remember. So it says, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. Now, often when I talk or I talk to people about the fear of the Lord, people give me a weird look. They give me a bit of a puzzled look and they're like, so I'm meant to be fearful of the Lord. But Rob, I thought he was loving and I thought he was generous and I thought he was never going to let me down. Why would I be scared of that? And this is where I think the use of the word is really interesting. Because what it means here, as some of us will know, is that this is the idea of giving God his place, of that awe, of that wonder, of that love that we have, gives him that place above anything else in our life. But if we don't give him that place, we don't have that fear within us. Really interestingly, also it gives the word, the is the interesting, the fear is the key word here. Because it seems to add a respect and a humility to the reverence that we should be giving to God. The fact that it's a thing, that we name it as a thing, the fear is a thing that we should be doing and putting in place in our lives. It's not about a standpoint we should make of being scared, but it's one of giving God his rightful place. What's the point otherwise in believing God? What's the point of being a Christian if we don't give God that rightful place in our life? Really then we're just trying to follow a set of rules and regulations that we know from the Old Testament we can't do. Because again, we live in that world that's broken and that needs fixing, that needs a saviour. And we know that Jesus has given that. We know that it's there. So we need to give God that rightful place. And to do that, we need to look up. In New York, taxi drivers often point out that they can always spot tourists or the locals simply because of the way they are looking around their surroundings. They say that tourists walk around looking up, looking at the skyscrapers, looking at the sights, taking in the awe and the beauty and the majesty of the city. They say that the people who are local and work in those areas are constantly looking down, are focusing not on the people around them, not on the situations around them, but they are on mission to a direction. They are not looking up. And I think this is really symbolic, because what we see is that to New Yorkers, these magnificent skyscrapers are just another part of their landscape. Competency meant they would never look up and admire the city that others flock to. Competency in that sense of this is what we do, it's the same every day, we're going to keep walking. Think about you as well, apply that to your faith and the way that you view God. It becomes a competency, it becomes a boring set of rules or a rhythm that you go through rather than a relationship and a connection that we should be seeking and refreshing every day. Rather than something we should be committing today, God, what are you teaching me? What are you saying to me? What are the areas of my life that I need to be working in? If we're solely focused on looking down, on not looking around, on not bringing God into each and every situation, thinking we know the answer and we know the best, we're going to see things like envy creeping and creeping without us realizing. So it's through this idea of looking up that we're able to work on these hard problems, such as envy. Because we need to have that experience, that knowledge, and that focused attention on God for him to identify and show us these things. The way our lives are being directed and focused on him is what we want to seek. When we see an envy coming in, as we've said, it talks about stopping that joy, stopping that experience that we can have with God when we allow him. And it's that thing, it's that stopping of that joy that we have said is, could be one of the serious issues with envy. But secondly, it's not just about looking up. If you were to constantly look up, you would walk into things. You would not see the things that were happening around you or the place that you're heading for. And that's really interesting when we talk about where are we heading for as Christians. Because here it talks about surely there is a future and your hope will not be cut off. This verse acknowledges that we are in a place that we should be. As we've already mentioned, envy is something that can steal and poison the life that we already have. The life that God has given us, and if we aren't focused on our future direction, that future direction being that day when Jesus returns, that hope that we have in being reconnected fully with God, we're not fully onto that, then what are we focused on? What are we looking forward to? So we need to look up, but we also need to look forward in terms of this journey. God also knows that we aren't as we're meant to be. This is why he sent his son to die on the cross and to rise again. For each of us to see a glimpse of the future that is to come, and it is this that we need to be focused on. We know, we believe that Jesus has dealt with all of these problems. It's finished, it is done. So we need to focus on what is happening above us, and what God is saying, but we also need to focus on where we are heading, that day when we will be reunited with him. Because when we look up, it allows us to look forward in everything that we do. So even in those difficult situations, where we're struggling with things, where we don't know where God is in that situation, If we're looking up and we're looking forward, these areas of our hearts and our lives are affected, and we're giving God his rightful place in that. As Christians, we seek each day to be more and more like Jesus. Therefore, we should be realizing that what we're seeing is a little bit more of what it is to come. Each day as we see Jesus move, as we see that other thing change, we're seeing more and more of what it will be like in the future when we're fully united with God. When our world, when our broken world is fully restored, we will know that we have hit that future. Because we know that day is coming. And in this restored world, materialism, envy, and jealousy won't be a thing. Because we won't need it to be. Because we'll be fully content in a place with our Maker. So going back to that story that I shared with you at the beginning, and thinking about eradicating envy in the pursuit of victory. I know at that point that even if I'd been in one of those team photos, that wouldn't have stopped the problem. The problem at the time for me was I was unsure of my identity, I was unsure of who I was, and what I saw in other people was something I want. And I believe as a Christian that I have that identity, that I have that stability, and that each day I'm going to look up and look forward into what God has for me and has for my family and has for this church. And through that, my hope and my prayer is that there will be less and less envy in my heart, therefore less and less envy in my life. And that will mean that we see more and more of God move in the places that we are in. And my hope and my prayer is for each of you to have that same focus and that same vision. So we're just going to pray now for that. But if there's anything tonight that's particularly stuck out, if there's anything particularly that you think that's a really interesting point to go on and wrestle with, I would encourage you just to use that time to have that personal conversation with God, to ask him what are those things that you need to be working on, what are those areas of your heart, those envious things that are coming in, where are those situations that you find yourself in where that's taking place, and see what God wants to do this week in those situations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us a focus for our lives. You've given us both a focus to look up and to see you, to experience your spirit and what that means for each of us. But also that you've given us a focus forward, Father. You don't ask us to stay where we are, Father, but you ask us to move forward, constantly seeking you in everything we do, towards that day when you return. Father, I thank you that we can come to you and ask you to reveal to us areas of our lives that are not focused on you, that are not singing to your tune, that are not in line with you. And Father, I pray for each of us here that you would speak to us clearly tonight on what these areas are, whether that be envy or whether that be any of the other sins or emotions that affect our heart that pull us away from you. Father, I pray you would be clear with each of us this evening, that we would leave here encouraged by that experience of you and encouraged by that direction forward, but also challenged on how we lead and make decisions in this pursuit for wisdom that we all seek. In your name.